First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone, the members of the public in attendance today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Maybe to clarify, this is the first hearing of this type that we have had to deal with as a committee since the legislation has been brought through. Members have been put through a briefing session previous to the hearing today. The follow-up to see with the protocol and exactly what the role is for this committee in this hearing. I have a couple of housekeeping items. If the alarm bell rings during the meeting, please exit the meeting room and follow the instructions of officers regarding the proper means of leaving the building. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak unless they are forming part of an official deputation. The ordered deputations shall be, firstly, a deputation on behalf of objectors and or their representatives with a time limit of 10 minutes that can be divided among a maximum of 3 people. And secondly, then a deputation on behalf of the applicant and or their representatives and or those supporting the application. And again, the time limit will be 10 minutes and it can be divided among a maximum of 3 speakers. All members of the deputation must continue to be seated and remain silent while all other deputations are being made to the committee. Everyone, including members of the committee, should ensure their mobile phones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members and the public are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at this meeting. And also declarations of interest, I would remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to and the nature of interest.
Sure, I'd like to declare an interest in this. I'd be speaking against
it. Councillor Casey has declared an interest. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. So maybe if we can start off here with apologies. And I have received personally from Councillor Hawley and Councillor Taylor that they would not be here.
And
Councillor Stokes.
Councillor
Clark.
Councillor Kern, Councillor Clark, Councillor Timmins. Is there any other apologies? If we could maybe open up then for our Assistant Director for the Assistant Director for Regulatory and Technical Service Department, Colin Jackson, who will go through a wee bit of a background for us.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, members and guests, the reason we're here today is to consider an application that we have for an amusement permit at 4 Margaret Square in Newry. You may be aware that officers are not permitted to refuse a license to the council under the scheme of delegation. That authority has been designated to this committee, and this committee's decision will be final. The facts in relation to this particular case is that the council had operated and issued a amusement permit on this premises dating back to 1993. The premises have been closed since 2003, and the owner of the premises had applied to the council for an annual renewal of his license up until this year. The reason we're here today is because there's a change of ownership, and the fact that because of the fact that there's a change of ownership, that the advert had to be placed into the local press. On the back of the advert, the reported in the local press, we have received 6 objections, and we will hear from representatives from those 6 objectors today. The facts in relation to the premises itself and the wider area, there were 13 licenses issued in the Newry area in the past. 7 of those premises have closed down and 6 remain open. This council does not have a policy in relation to the amount of applications permitted on an annual basis. We do not have a limit restricting the amount of premises that we would permit to open under the amusement permits. The legislation is clear in how a council can issue a refusal or an approval. The council permitted to issue a refusal in relation to a resolution that it has passed, and it's normally in relation to the permitting of persons under the age of 18 on the premises. If those conditions have been compromised, the council will be entitled to issue a refusal of a license. Another issue is in relation to the applicant. If the applicant is not a fit and proper person to hold an amusement permit, and that's in relation to the applicant's character. On the back of that, in relation to fit and proper person, the applicant cannot put a manager in place who would fall into the same category. That manager would also have to be classified as a fit and proper person to hold the license. And lastly, the premises would have to hold an appropriate fire risk assessment. So those would be grounds on which a committee would issue a refusal of a license. We have received 6 objections. 3 of those objectors are going to be given the opportunity to speak today, and as I said, they are going to speak for a maximum of 10 minutes. Then the applicant or the applicant representative will be given the opportunity to speak as well. And on the back of that, then the councillors will make a decision based on the information that they hear. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Colin. At this stage, I would like to call on those objecting. If you'd like to come up to the table here, we will have a maximum of 10 minutes to speak on the matter. This can be divided equally between the 3 of you. And if we make sure that we do speak into the mic, as we are being audio recorded. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. Everybody hear me? Yeah. I want to thank the committee for giving us the opportunity to speak on this issue. During Morning Down, District Council cannot hold his head in the sand in relation to the regulation of our granting of gaming licences. There is a civic and moral duty in us to ensure that a balance between allowing licences for gambling purposes and the health, well-being and protection of our communities and the sustainability of our local economy. During Morning Down, Council should not grant this licence, or at the very least suspend any decision until a comprehensive audit is carried out regarding gaming establishment in our area and a regulation policy agreed. The negative impact of casino amusement arcades clusters on local economies has to be considered and should carry weight in the argument against the granting of this particular license. The vast majority of people, I believe, wish to see Hill Street remain free of such tight premises to ensure a family-friendly atmosphere. People over 18 years of age are free to choose how they spend their money. Those with an interest in using these gaming arcade type premises are very well catered for in the Newry district. There is no argument or evidence at all for the need for such another premise. The demand is well met by current establishments, which are modern, large spaces, highly furnished premises. Many local people are extremely concerned with the current ongoing discussion about the growth in problem gaming, particularly with gaming machines. The temptation of high-speed, high-stake casino games in the high street has proved irresistible. There are now about 33,000 fixed odd betting terminals in Britain and Ireland. A decade ago, there were barely any. More than a third of people playing high-speed, high-stakes betting machines experience problems with their gambling, according to industry-funded research released recently. The study involving 4,000 gamblers was commissioned by the Responsible Gambling Trust revealed alarmingly high levels of problem gambling with fixed-odd betting terminals. Fixed-odd betting terminals have been dubbed by clinics as the crack cocaine of gambling, because in some cases they allow stakes of £100 to be laid every 20 seconds on casino games. The researchers found that 37% of respondents experienced problems with machine gambling somewhere between some of the time to almost all of the time. This compared to a problem gambling rate of 12.4% for all adults, according to 2012 government health studies. And as a person who has experienced some addiction problems in gambling in my past years, I would like to object to the granting of this particular license. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Eamon Conley, your bid manager. For any of you who don't know, the bid is a business improvement district that was voted through in November 2015 by the local businesses. In essence, it is legislatively mandated to allow the businesses to spend their own money as a pump prime to regenerate Newry. It has many themes all along the basis of regenerate Newry, particularly Hill Street. The council should be well aware of our efforts in this regard. We stepped into the 11th hour to support the triathlon festival of merchants, sorry, the festival of water around Hill Street. We've supported the Twilight Markets in Hill Street. We're supporting the City of Merchants Festival. We're providing a vacant property as headquarters in Hill Street. We coordinate business engagement on a range of things, for example, on the public realm scheme in Upper Hill Street. And we are working with the council on the proposed public realm scheme in Lower Hill Street in John Mitchell Place. We've offered support to council on things like access to car parking. We currently provide free car parking to the traders in Hill Street and North Street. 250 places. We have monthly surveys on the visitors and shoppers in Newry. We've carried out over 1,000, and not one respondent has requested in their desire to regenerate or improve Newry for an extra betting shopper casino license. We have footfall tenders in Newry, which we use to assist in grant applications, in match funding and event measurement. And we are heavily invested in Newry financially and emotionally, and particularly in Hill Street. We have two regeneration projects which will open in January, and we are in the final discussion of a major investment in Hill Street, which is too commercially sensitive to mention at this stage, but we believe that this project will not help that. We are firmly committed to working with partners like the Council, Department of Infrastructure, that works on Lower Mill Street. We work closely with PCSP and PSNI on the social and other behaviours, removing graffiti in Hill Street, and have invested considerable time to try and change the perception of Hill Street as a charity shop, dead street. We're working very heavily at the moment with the mix of economy and training, and we're very keen to see Hill Street again become the focus of the town. The traders are opposed to this. They're not opposed to the concept, we're just opposed to the location, such a prime location on Hill Street. We believe the historic license was artificially renewed as it wasn't trading, and we believe the existing units are larger capacity than the historic ones. And in the absence of a council policy, we believe that the granting of this will be counter to the council's regeneration policy, and the traders in general will be strongly opposed to this location. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. My name is Pat McGinn. My objection is personal, but I work in the field of addiction. I also have a vested interest because 14 years ago, on a committee similar to this, myself as a councillor here, a former council, asked that this council produce a policy in relation to the same arguments that we have had 14 years today and concerns were expressed about the proliferation of the licensed and gambling premises. 3 years ago, Newry and Moran's Drug and Alcohol Committee visited Coonmara, and in part of the presentation Coonmara did, we talked about the need. We warned about gambling, and we talked about the need for this council to take a stand and for it to have a policy in relation to how to judge applications. That there shouldn't just be two pieces of paper, an advert in a newspaper. I have no crusade against gambling or drinking, let me tell you. I was part of a team this past year that have raised over £50,000 for the hospice to run in, and we've been sponsored by bookmakers, we've been sponsored by casinos, and have been sponsored by the people of Newry Moore and Down. But you know, what I have is a serious concern about what is happening, and that we are sleepwalking into crisis. And every councillor here and senior officer should, I'm sure, have watched the television and read the papers this past weeks and months about what the debate that's currently taking place in Westminster, about the whole issue of bookmakers, about the gambling machines. If my old friend Henry Wright was here, we're talking about his hero, Kyle Lafferty, yesterday, was the latest high profile person to talk about their gambling and his introduction to the gambling through machines. My objection is not personal against. I appeared in court over the gambling issue. I don't know if the applicant ever appeared in court over his business. it's not personal. I don't know. I would always imagine that people that have these businesses, I know the people in the area that have, and I'm sure they're professionals on that have entirely. But I appeared in court over gambling because I sold the gambling. Newry Mourne and Down District Council, the first thing on their website is our aim is to provide civic leadership, deliver local services, and ensure that the district develops in a way that increases prosperity and quality of life for local residents. We'll measure that when you're making your decision here today. And I want to ask you, Chair, is there anybody here from the community development team or committee? Because your community development vision talks about that supported by the outcomes. Newry Mourne and Down is a place with a strong and safe, vibrant communities where everyone has a good quality of life and access to opportunity, choices and high quality services which are sustainable, accessible and meet all our people's needs. And they talk about the thematic groups, health and well-being. I read in the paper this week a quote from the applicant who talked about the visitor increase in the visitor experience to Newry. Well, my visitor experience of anybody that I know falls on the wrong end. My most recent one was at the funeral of a young person who took their own life because he gambled. Now, people over 18 want to gamble and do what they want. That's their business. But we have a moral, civic and legal responsibility to get that balance. And you're saying, Chair, or any councillor tells me that within history, with this present application is, within a 5-minute walk, I've done it today from Monastery, there are 6 premises that are often the same with this premise here is often. You tell me there's a need. So I am saying quite clearly today, on behalf of the many people, I could fill this place here. I'm not about to say off a member of that, please. Yes. I'm sorry for keeping you there. Notice that you're watching today. You know, because I am serious about the media representatives, so I'm sorry that I'm keeping you back. And perhaps if councillors listen to this, I'm sorry being responsible for their decisions. We are sleepwalking into disaster. Newry Mourne and Down is the young people, the adults and the older people that are caught up with gambling issues and problems. So make your mind up if you put a place like that back in Lawrence Street or in Hill Street. Hill Street doesn't need it, there are plenty of other places in Newry. Go on, my office, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much for attending today. Thank you. At this stage then, I would like to invite those who are supporting of the application or the applicant themselves. And again, if I can advise, just if we can make sure that we do use our mic system, please, specifically the button that's in front on the left-hand side. At this stage, actually, I have been advised that the committee may seek clarification from the last application, if they so choose to. So if the committee would like to seek clarification, and what I can do is, sorry, if I can ask that those who are objecting, if they would be able to return to the table again, and if I allow them to rebut any statements or can clarify any points, sorry, with this.
Thank you, Chair. I have a general question for the delegation. I'm not sure, Charlie, if yourself, Eamon, or Pat can answer you. But is it your contention that the 5 corn premises that are have as much, if not more, floor space and, in effect, more, as many, if not more, machines the 13 former premises that used to be in this city?
I don't have any scientific evidence to back this up, but anecdotal feedback from people in the industry in the town would say that whilst there's less premises, those current premises are larger, have more capacity,
lower than replicate the drop in actual numbers of outlets. So we're actually suggesting that the capacity in the area is more than fulfilled as it is.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank the speakers for the presentation. I know they're really quite passionate and very, you know, cared about, you know, about the points of view in relation to this application, but, you know, also to the efforts of various organisations to deal with addictions, you know. But just as you mentioned about the number of premises in your area, and I'm just wondering, have you ever taken on board a word of any research in relation to people who go online, such as gambling websites, gambling sites on the internet, whatever, and would you be aware of any statistics in your area that would deal with addictions, you know, with people accessing online sites?
I can get you statistics, you know, I deal in human beings, I don't deal with statistics. We get foundation with the statistics. There is an argument, that, and see this is a distraction from the one I get about the whole thing about the apps and the book. As you've had about premises, at least you can see what people are doing. I think you can enjoy it. Yeah, I visited Las Vegas last year. So, you know, people didn't enjoy it. But, so statistics, my statistics are that I've been attending funerals locally where people have taken their lives. And I'm talking about the extreme end, I have to be careful here on that. You know, but that's the potential. And that's one argument. I have to watch emotional arguments. You will be advised, you don't make a decision if it's illegal. But I'm that's why I want to preempt you being told you have no decision here. The councils have a decision, have every right to make a legal decision here to refuse this. And there is a need after this, I believe, entirely. And I commend Michael Jordan, that was here, that the Gulf Officer, that this council looks at the policy. I recommend if he looks at the likes of Wigan's council's policy or something like that, I don't think about the objectives. But we have nothing here to measure this application against, only the fact that it was a previous premises there. And, you know, I'm not putting that in anybody's death certificate. But there are plenty of, and I will invite whatever appropriate committee certainly to come up and visit the likes of Coomber and that, and the likes of Osmond McConnell to come, if you're able to vote, to come and do it.
You said that there were questionnaires sent out more than the numbers, right? And that there's been over 1,000. Okay. And you said that it was not identified that there was anyone wanting to have this facility. Was that question actually asked?
We have a range of topics that are asked repeatedly, and a range of things. And there's a constant theme about your experience in urine and how you might improve in urine. So we're not specifically going to promote and advocate, and yes or no, do you want a gaming casino? Equally, we're not promoting, do you want a new civic center? We are open to suggestions, and we're very much in an engaging and learning mode, and there has not yet been one request for anything in this regard. There's been numerous requests about events, numerous requests about making economy, numerous requests about just the general ambiance, picking a house, making it brighter, cleaner, but certainly nothing in the regard of casinos or gambling. There's been requests for improving in the hospitality sector in relation to, you know, the eating and making economy, picking Hill Street. There's been requests to try and reprofile Hill Street from the perception of being charity shops and solicitors' offices, and we're taking that on board and have made steps to try and do that. And that's why I believe that this application isn't apt, because it runs counter to that as we try to regenerate Hill Street. I'm not opposed to this in principle, I'm just opposed to the specific location in our main street.
And where would you find it?
I'm in no position to okay. Either judge anyone, but right. I find that position is particularly high profile as we try and regenerate Hill Street.
Okay. And is there anywhere else because of Uri Bid?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for the trailers within Uri Bid, which is effectively the central business district. I haven't had anybody come and saying that they want to have one on the doorstep. All I have is people saying that they don't want one there. We have five, I think it's planned out again, and there are six within a short walk of this in Hill Street. And really the primary concern of traders is just the pure location on Hill Street, and that's the only reason I'm sticking here is on location.
Mr. Allen? Is everyone happy then at this stage?
Jared? Can I just apologise to Armin and for me to have the audacity to suggest that this council and the council lawyers didn't care about something that didn't happen. But I haven't been feeling well. And also, as a response to the council and Scott, that, you know, if a television screen wasn't good enough for Hill Street, I want the council to tell me what was. What is.
Thank you very much. I will at this, I have to apologise for the mix-up there in the protocol. Again, this is very new for this committee, so I do want to apologise again for how it may have seemed unprofessional there. At this stage, could I call on those who would be in support of or the applicant or representation of the applicant to come forward? Sorry. Could I ask you to turn your
mic off? Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair and Committee. My name is Jade O'Kane, and I'm here on behalf of Broad Enterprises Limited as the legal representative and one of the directors from Broad Enterprises Limited. We're here on behalf of Broad Enterprises today to make representations. The company believes that satisfied the statute requirements set out in the 1995 order, namely the clause that the character of education and financial standing of the applicant has been satisfied. In the applicant's application, you'll see that numerous references have been furnished by professionals who know Colin and James McKenna, the director, as well. The council has been furnished with an information pamphlet providing a bit of background about the company, and in particular Colin McKenna. And it's clear that Colin has 30 years' experience in this industry, and he owns a number of businesses in the Northwest. He handles businesses with the most professionalism and integrity. He does not tolerate any antisocial behaviour and is no involvement or interventions with the PSNI or any other councils in this region. None of his business has ever been brought into disrepute. He has a healthy financial standing and has a good credit rating. He has provided ample employment to the local community. And as you'll see from the references furnished, he is a well-respected member of the business community in the Northwest. Turning to the second legal requirement, the nature of the premises proposed, we understand that the council aims to ensure that the nature of the premises proposed is appropriate for the location in question. This particular premises has had an easement permit from 1993 to August 2016. The council obviously considered that there was a basis in the past for granting this license, and nothing of material or significant change has occurred, which would cause the council to perhaps consider refusing the grants at this stage. That's good as more than willing to comply with any particular requirements as to how the premises should be presented in terms of illumination and signage, and the applicant intends to use similar signage in the window that was previously used, and indeed the applicant will follow any requirements with regard to notices and signage to ensure the premises do not openly encourage gambling, which is really the point of this clause in the legislation. The third legislation is the opinion of the police, and so far as we are aware, no objections have been lodged to the police, and as previously stated, the applicant has no criminal record of any dealings or intervention with the PSNI with regard to any of his businesses. And finally, submission from the general public, you'll see that the applicant has satisfied this legal requirement in the sense that two presents for his place in the local newspapers, Newry Democrat and Newry Reporter. The applicant does appreciate that there's other requirements outside the legislation that the council will obviously give a nod to, particularly the suitability of the location for the proposed amusement arcade. The council may consider the impact of retail viability. As stated, there has been an amusement permit in place from 1993 to 2006 for this premises. So it has obviously met the requirements for a grant in the past, and nothing has materially changed since August 2016 when the permit ended. This premises is not centre in the middle of the High Street of Hill Street. It will not break up any continuous shopping zones, and indeed it's located next to a bar. Margaret Square is a street off the main High Street, and for all the number of objections, we received quite a few letters of support from the local traders, emphasising the importance of enhancing what is a dying High Street and ensuring that there is footfall in this area of the city, which is often crippled with vacant buildings, units of Tillet signs and charity shops. We have emailed the letters of support, hopefully you've had sight of them today, from the local traders, and you'll see that local traders are very, very encouraging of this premises being granted a permit. We would strongly urge the council to consider retail-led mixed-use development, given the expansion of shopping centres and out-of-town retail units, with ample free parking, and amusement arcade and full market street would inject a bit of life into the town centre and increase the footfall, and most importantly, provide employment to the local community. Encouraging mixed-use development, that is in strong belief that it will make the city centre a better place to invest in, to visit and to work in, and most importantly, support the local economy. The council appreciates that the applicant on the legislation doesn't have to prove that there's a need for permits to be granted here, a need for or demand for an easement arcade in this particular area. Instead, the council must consider how the area is affected by any cumulative build-up of an easement arcade in your city centre. We understand that there's 5 arcades in Newry, previously there was 13. The arcades that are in the town, they're not clustered together, they're relatively spread out enough that they don't have each other in one street. We understand that the project by Belfast City Council is one of these new permits granted per shopping front. Indeed, the council doesn't have any particular policy in that regard, but it's something to really give consideration to, in the sense that this premises does not break up any shop front, and it is adjacent to a bar and a cafe. In terms of like any impact on the profile of the town, as viewed, our client, my applicant, is very willing to comply with any requirements in terms of signage. As stated, the applicant does not believe the amusement arcade will have any impact on the image of the city centre or will affect tourism. If anything, a functioning business at this location should ensure retail viability at this part of the town. We're very, very aware that this particular location is not close to any residential housing, it's not close to schools, it's not close to youth centres or any residential institutions. The premises would be an area where young people or vulnerable people would congregate. We have considered the objections that have been lodged by members of the public, and we would just encourage the council to remember that it's not their role to assess whether gambling is morally acceptable, and indeed the council is aware of case law of Devon and Derry City Council, where it was held that the opinion that gaming machines are undesirable is not a ground for objection. As the brief objection has been lodged, there's been just as many layers of support from local traders in the area who understand the importance of enhancing the city centre and encouraging that continuous street football through that street, and given the ongoing competition and threat for small traders from the out-of-town shopping centres, we believe that the applicant's staff business experience would bring great support and in addition to the community of local traders and Newry City Centre. Council will be aware that planning permission was granted for change of use for this building in the past and also building control approval. Although we do appreciate the council's not going to accept any decision of the planning authority. To really recap, the applicant is of good character, reputation and financial standing. He has extensive experience in this industry and will run an arcade to the highest professional standards. Despite the objections, there's a lot of support from local traders for this premises to be granted permit. And we're asking the council to consider granting a permit for premises which already had the benefit of the permit from 1983 to August 2016. And indeed, as previously stated, nothing has drastically changed since August 2016 with regard to this premises. No doubt the council will see that the applicant has satisfied all the relevant statutory requirements under the 1985 order and other non-statutory considerations that the council may give a nod to. We do hope that the council will make a lawful, reasonable and proportionate decision in this matter, and consider the application on its own merits rather than adopt a blanket approach to refuse all gaming machines in arcades of undesirable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this stage, I would like to open it to the committee. And again, can I just advise that it is for seeking clarification? We won't be accepting any new points. So this is just a clarification on what has been said. And if anyone has any queries or questions, Mr. Daly.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, thank you for your presentation. The committee will absolutely no doubt that Mr. McKenna is, as you indicated, upstanding business firm. I don't think anybody would ever be questioning that. I have a query. You see, there's a fair degree of support from local traders, which is a contradictory sort of position that Yuri did or suggested. You stated a number of things, Gia, that nothing has changed here, and therefore there shouldn't be a reason to withhold renewal of this license or approval. But surely the fact that the doors of this former premises have been closed for a number of years would indicate that society has changed generally. So have you anything to say to that? And I mean, you know, on that point, I mean, what evidence is there that there, what evidence has Mr. McKenna, how has he identified the need for a business such as this, considering that the former premises has been closed now for quite a few number of years, even though it was late?
I'm not aware of the history of the previous owners of the premises. I don't know why they closed it. Was it just their own management that they couldn't manage the premises or wasn't making the profit? So I'm sorry, I can't answer why it was closed and why the doors have remained closed. Mr. McKenna has vast experience in this industry. He believes he could turn their premises around and make it a very profitable business and enhance the local economy and research centre. Indeed, I have copies of the letters of support if anybody would like to see them. They were emailed to the council yesterday evening, but they are here if anybody wants to see them. The support from the local traders.
Just to advise that those letters of support would not actually go for speakers sent to this committee on the basis that they have not been submitted prior to the case coming before the council. And there is a deadline that has been stipulated in evidence being presented to the council. Just for a point of clarity on that one. And can I bring in Councillor Hart?
Just you say that it's not within an area where there are schools or youth centres. There actually is a youth centre about 50 yards away, and known as the Magnet Youth Centre on Hill Street.
Well, I know that there is an over casino just behind the Shelburne for the Shelburne Casino, which obviously has no difficulty getting the ground, and that's very close to that youth centre also.
Thanks, Rogers.
Thank you very much. Again, thank you for your presentation, you know, and for sharing the story this afternoon. You know, and open up a business like this, you know, like you would be investing a lot of money into it, you know, to, you know, get the business up and going. But, you know, before doing that, would you not sort of done a research and sort of identified was there a need and demand for the type of business? That's just sort of what I'd like to ask, you know. I know it requires major investment from the owner or whatever to put. Like the same example, if I was in the applicant's shoes here today and I was spending £250,000 and investing my money into something, I would need to have my homework done before I would put the money, or put the money on the right house. So that's just a question on that is exactly what you know, to do something like that, you need more or less to do your homework. So it's just lively to ask.
Well, extensive research has been done by Broad Enterprises Limited. They have 30 years experience in this industry. They know the game inside out. And as stated, the applicant today does not have to prove the case of their need or demand. He just has to show that he has complied with legislative requirements.
Thank you.
Question
started.
Thank you.
Okay, we've heard that Colin has 30 years experience, but then I haven't heard how long he's been
from. I suppose 12.
Okay, legally.
Now that the definitions have been made, the parties shall be permitted an opportunity to rebut any factual inaccuracies, only which have may have arisen from the oral representations of other deputations in respect of which they have not had an opportunity to comment, and this will strictly be limited to responding to any such issue, and the party will not be permitted to rehearse any representations which have already been made. So would anyone like to make a rebuttal of any factual inaccuracies? So, I could ask yourself, Jade and James, if you'd like to maybe step back again, and then the Jackers are really coming forward then themselves. And just to reiterate, it is rebuttals on factual inaccuracies, but we won't be taking any new points, so that's just for rebuttal on any factual inaccuracies that may have been presented before.
Okay, sir. The magnet you sent back, which I've had the pleasure of being involved with for many years in the work of steering the young people, is visibly, you can see the new proposed site from the, you can see the magnet centre from where these people are talking about putting back in an amusement park. You can see it. If you want to see the one in Water Street, Monaghan Street, the bottom of Hill Street, or down the mall, you have to climb over the roofs to see it. So you can see the one that we're talking about. So it's wrong, but I noticed the legal point. I want to just get a clear in the head what I heard there. I said I was in court. I heard that the company hadn't been in trouble with PSNI. I wonder, what, had the company ever been in trouble with the guards?
Just one point from my hat, and I understand that maybe it's stated in the due process these support letters. Out of interest, I would like to see them because somebody stated before come to me. I can speak to the National Press members.
Mm-hmm. students.
Sorry, if I can just interrupt here. I'm just letting people know me. I'm from the Office of Council Legal Services, so we're going to discuss the Planning Committee, but I've come down today as well. There is a discretion in the policy in terms of late objections. Now, the officers have said that it was received late, but to my mind, if you as a committee want to see that information, then you are entitled to see it if you feel that you need to see it to come to a decision. And certainly, if you're going to see it, then everyone who's made a representation is entitled to see it as well, because that's only for us. So it's a matter of the committee in terms of what you want to do, so whether you want to allow those members to be investigated and considered.
Are all in agreement to that proposal in the second?
For the 10-minute adjournment to come to the second.
Chair, just to clarify, I'm not too sure, but the problem I have out there is recent. You know, we started off meeting again and say we set a deadline for information to be provided. That didn't happen. In the case from here on, and then every hearing that we ever had, the people would move in, we could just wait for them to meet and ask the committee to make the decision, and then we end up with there'll be no deadline, and people will be able to submit whatever they speak to the market. So I would have dipped in the model.
Do you actually pay this, Michael?
Well, Councillor Spatz, do you get a proposal to
withdraw
this proposal? So can I take that then if the committee does not wish then to see that? Jade or James, would you like to come in and rebut any information that has been presented previously?
Just regards to the query about any involvement of the Garda's broad enterprises and what with their enterprises on the site. Worked very closely with Garda Síochána and have never had any dealings or any interventions with the Garda.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. If I can ask you then again to take your seat. At this stage, I would maybe put it then to the committee that we move forward and to consider the decision. So you're required to make a decision based on the following options set out under the order. So you must refuse or accept the application unless satisfied that the applicant is a fit person to hold an amusement permit. Are you, the committee, satisfied that the applicant is a fit person to hold an amusement permit?
Over the last couple of days, the company has been including receiving emails in relation to people who are concerned with it, etc. One of those emails also had a newspaper article presented as part of something itself, which now I don't know if it's the same person or they're speaking about, but it's in relation to the Supreme Court appeal of Mr. Collins and his family's letter number. I don't want to know. So again, I'm just asking, if I can be verifying if that's the same person or not.
Obviously, that's the first time that that information, so far as I'm aware, has come to the officers. If you have that information, there's two things that we can do. You can ask the applicant to confirm whether or not that business has any connection to him, either personally or professionally, and with them, we alternatively, we as officers can go away and look at that and come back to the committee again. It's a matter for the committee.
Well, I think based on the last question that we were asked from the Champion, I think it's imperative that we do know that.
Certainly, the first thing that you need to do as a committee is decide on the fitness of the applicant and then go on to look at the other issues. But you have to be satisfied with the fitness of the applicant first. That's almost your first port of call before you go on to look at anything else.
On the basis of the information that has been just presented, we then have two courses to take then. It's either we can invite Jade and James, if they'd like to make a presentation to state whether or not this is linked to the owners of Broad Enterprises Limited, or else we can, as a committee, ask that the officers go back out and investigate further and come back at a later time.
Yes.
So it's up to the committee then as to what option you would prefer.
Sure. This information that Councillor Rowan has brought to the committee is news to me. I did not perceive any such email. I'm not sure how many of the committee has.
And regardless of who received it or who didn't receive it, it was sent to me on an Irish Times article. It's not an email or someone who has made an allegation that something has been written in the newspaper, the actual article from the newspaper from the Saturday May 23rd, 1996.
Just on their advice, the officers have not seen this information either. Now, the applicants can come up and clarify whether it's ours or not. But then again, you are taken on the word then. It's again, there's then a committee.
Not
the
idea, that's what they want, they just have a quick look at it.
Could I maybe propose that we ask the legal advisors to go away and investigate this in a proper manner? Because we've just indicated that we weren't able to take in, I know I was going to say the MSW driven, to take in those out of court. I do believe it would be right and proper that it's full investigation done as opposed to just read the newspaper article. Because the newspaper article, as we all know, can say one thing and it needs more detail, I think.
Sure, I never claimed that it was factual, and I mean, all I was asking for it was
I'm just saying that newspaper articles don't get the phone, and you all know that newspaper articles are not always given them.
There is another option that we have then on the table, and that would be that given the information that has been presented today, that we defer the decision. In the period of deferment, we take a site visit on site, given that there is concerns regarding the Magnet Youth Centre, and also in that period of time, it gives officers then the ability to go off and investigate fully all the claims that have been made on the information that has been presented, and we would be able to come back then at a later time and make a decision on such. And then again, in fairness, then we can bring the levers of support then to the committees that they then may see them as well. But this would allow then for all the information that has been presented then to be fully viewed, and for the committee then to make an informed decision based on the site visit, officers then report, and all information that will be presented to us. Councillor Andrews.
Well, thanks very much. I do welcome that. I was a bit concerned about the way some of the procedures were going. I'm not taking away anybody's, not putting anybody's character or whatever, but I think we should go away along the lines of what's been suggested and get a full in-depth analysis and presentation of all angles of this application. And if that's a proposal, I would be too happy to make that proposal.
Sure, just
I I think this is the first time that Councillor Rowan that this committee has met, and it's more, as I said earlier on in the presentation, it's just more this, and it's for future processes that, you know, we might come back next time. It's like maybe a couple of on the bus the first time today. I think realistically it's a learning curve for everybody, and that next time all angles will be covered, everything will be on the table for everybody to see. That's why I want to make this proposal that we do see everything in relation, but all angles are covered in relation to this application and any future application whatsoever.
Sure.
I just think it's more this is day one, but I think from today onwards, at least, we'll have procedures in place from the lower level.
Yeah, Chairman, just another point that someone kind of has mentioned in relation to the comments that we made from both parties, and those in relation to policy. And we were directed to the policy member of Council over in the UK, and then those supporting the nation made reference to a policy in Belfast City Council. I think it's quite clear one thing we've learned here today is that we don't have a policy with the council. And I would ask before we come back and make the decision on this here that we actually as a council go away and make up a policy so that when we come back here we can deal with every application we get in relation to these type of premises that we have a policy that we can base our decision on. So I think that's a proposal, sir.
Can I maybe just spend any call on this as well?
I think it's going to be a very valid point. The issue is, in the policy, it's going to take months. It's not going to be done overnight. We have to consult on the policy, and it will take months. So, if you want to make look at this as a one-off, and we can, in the back end, the officers can work on a policy for future reference, I would suggest that that's probably the way forward.
There has been a proposal, I know that by Councillor Lam that there'd be an amendment then to get this proposal. So I think first of all I'll have to ask if the amendment accept no or leave it down.
It's really Councillor Andrews has proposed and Councillor Fitzpatrick has seconded that you go back and have your site you defer adjourned today, you take your site visit. The officers investigate all the information and that you do provide it with the letters of support and the committee reconvenes to make a decision. That has been proposed and seconded. Councillor Lam is proposing not a policy, but it's really not an amendment to the first one, it's a separate proposal.
Hold on. So, is there a second amendment for Councillor Lam's proposal? Councillor Hart? So that would be then for the council to go off then and have a policy. Mm-hmm. Is that a precondition?
As part of this, obviously looking at more embedding of the information of the email itself, I would suggest that before we would come back and look at this case again, that we actually put that policy in place so that we can actually deal with all applications in the same manner. We are a new council, we're only dealing with 2 to 3 years. It's obvious that there is gaps in some of their policies within council, and here's one we found out about today. So at least in future reference, when we come back to look at these type of applications, we'll know exactly what our policy is and how we can deal with them.
That's a committee that I'm happy with. Approval, but I've been supporting. All in agreement?
Well, you need to put motions to the meeting.
So we have our first proposal, which is a proposal then.
Sorry, Chairman, obviously, bear in mind there is an application before us on compliments, obviously, quite expensive. That I know that these things don't happen overnight, but that as a council, we put it as a priority to get a policy in place as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, we'll do that, but I'm just advising the committee that the put a policy in place is not going to happen overnight. It will take a long period of time. We have to consult on it. We can't just rush through it. That's what the committee for approval. You're probably talking away in a year before the policy is actually approved.
Just a reminder for councillors, it would be a matter of drafting, consultation, going through the committee structure, and then ratification by the council. So that's what adds up to most of the work. So if you're making the recommendation that only after that new policy has been drafted, consulted through the committee structure, and then through council for ratification, only after that will you reconsider this matter, you should be aware that it is likely to be in a year.
We'll have a proposal then from Councillor Andrews that we defer. We've had a proposal from Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Patrick, that we defer this decision until a site visit is had and allowing all information to be presented to the committee, including the 6 supporting letters for the application. Are all in agreement to that?
Yes.
Chair, can I say that a point of clarification? The second proposal of Councillor Rowan is called Councillor. Can I ask Councillor Rowan, like, do you want this decision to be subject to the new policy as well, or is it after this one? So you think that
that is a new policy? So what I'm asking for is an add-on. It's not actually a new recommendation, it's part of the original recommendation. So it's all part of the long term.
Right. So until such time the policy is in place, we're not going to take a decision on this application.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, has the motion taken? No. Thank you. Chair, I am a bit concerned about the length of time that's going to involve. I understand completely the reason why you want to do it, because you want to have certainty for the council and probably for applicants as well. But this application's already been in the system, and there's that a point where officers thought that perhaps it was ready to be dealt with. So perhaps it's halfway, and it's only a suggestion to the committee that officers could go away and work on an interim paper, an interim position paper, and that would take a shorter period of time but might give the committee a better share in terms of issues that you might want to take into account. We probably wouldn't need to consult as extensively in relation to that position paper, but then it would mean then that this applicant doesn't wait until, I think realistically it's going to be June, July, before you're in a position to have a policy. So it's just a suggestion to the committee for consideration.
I understand where you're coming from on that, Nora. What I would also say is that as a planning authority, you would have to wait a lot longer than 6, 7, 8, 9 months, even over a year. So it's not unusual through council structures.
Do you think we'll have any new planning, of course? And then at this point, so
so just for getting a point of clarity there, sorry, Councillor, that it, this will be an amendment then to the original proposal. So,
it's an add-on.
An add-on.
It's all part of the
yeah. Well, an amendment to a vote, to a motion is defined in your standing orders as either to refer the subject of debate to a committee or to an officer for consideration or reconsideration. B is to leave out words. C is to leave out words and insert or add others, which Councillor Rowan is suggesting, or D to insert or add words. So
it is an amendment to the original proposal. And Councillor Andrews, do you accept the amendment to the original proposal? So then I can put it then. The proposer then.
And the seconder.
A proposer and seconder then for that.
Did the seconder?
Yes. Okay. Okay. So on the proposal then of Councillor Andrews.
A decision on
Can we have a decision then on the proposal that has been put before us as well with the amendment then from Councillor Rowan? So the committee agreed.
So, Chair, I'll try and be offered. Can you just read back what we're both on here? So I'll tell you from my chair. Mr. McGinn made a very valid point. 14 years ago, they had said to get a policy into the council here. And for whatever reason, none has ever appeared. So a few months extra here to get this right, I don't think is asking too much. So I fully concur with Councillor Rowan's sentiments on this. So all that, could I hear what we're actually voting on, please?
So what we'll be voting on then is that it will be deferred until a site visit is taken place, allowing all information to be brought to the table, including the 6 supporting letters, and also until the policy has been implemented by
opposition rather than policy.
Opposition rather than policy. And the policy, and that the policy then be brought before council in relation to this area. That is what we'll be voting on then now. Are we in agreement to that? So, all agreed?
Yeah, it's all agreed. That's agreed.
It's voted on. I can't actually bring anyone further in. So the vote, it has been voted on then and agreed unanimously that on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Fitzpatrick, that there be a deferment of this application until the site visit takes place, allowing all information to be brought before the committee, including six important letters, and also before the decision then is taken that a policy be enacted by this council regarding this area. Thank you very much for attending the meeting today, folks. Thank you.
For the public that were here for the presentation, I'm very welcome to stay in the seat at the back. And I can ask you to begin the room on the left hand side. If you wish to stay, there's a room at the back. Okay, any apologies? No? No apologies. Okay, just on the chairman's remarks, I want to again congratulate, it seems every meeting that of the ELT coming to the end of the summer, a huge congratulations to the staff, and they're very, very well deserved. As we can see on item number 15, there's an events video which will sum up the whole summer, and having seen it last night at Friday, it's absolutely incredible. And it goes to show, you know, the hard work that every time we're coming to a meeting and congratulating the event staff beforehand, when we sit through the event video and see what's actually delivered in this area, it's fantastic. So, the City of Merchants was the last festival that closed, it brought the button down on the Summerland events, and so I'll let the video do the talking, but just on behalf of myself, I want to again congratulate the staff on the Summerland events. It was fantastic and well worked. The action sheet.
Declaration
of interest.
Item
7. Item 6 for myself. And item 8 for the Great Place Scheme as a member of the Green Body. Any other declaration of interest? One point I missed on the chairman's remarks. The visit to Rockwell Collins is taking place on the 18th of October. An email was sent out to all committee members. So those who responded, and only those who responded, are able to attend, and they must bring a form of ID. Those are the votes. So this Friday is the closed date for response. So anyone who hasn't responded before Friday is not able to attend. So if you can get your intentions in before Friday, and anyone that's going on the 18th of October, to bring a form of ID.
What are you doing?
So the time, the email, is the time.
The purpose of it?
Yes, we agreed, Chair, Rockland Collins had invited us to say Energy Generation Tourism Committee come along, a strategic business organisation in the area, and we also said we would love to visit other big businesses in the area just for learning purposes.
Can I just put my name down?
Absolutely.
Any other members want to put their name down? No? Like a job?
Okay.
Okay, moving on down, let's read the action sheet. I'm going to read the action sheet page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. Any issues, or can I then get someone to propose? Second. Propose by Councillor Collins, second, Councillor Hill.
I just on page 3, I thought the overgrown grass in October for the chance of sports tourism, but I just remarked that quite a number of parts of our area are, you know, are not getting enough attention in terms of grass cutting and public areas. And, you know, for example, the on the server this week, the Fox Hunt, you know. I thought it was bad publicity for an area that Transport NI hadn't cut, for example, the Jura Carriageway on the main road and some other areas as well, actually public areas. I think it's been the wrong message for our area that, you know, and I know they have budgetary problems, but the fact is that the area looks quite unkempt looking, but these public areas for tourists are coming in, and I had been at Campbell Land and, you know, Farm Lake is heading down the carriageway. It's a very visible part of the area. When you enter into our area, it's a very visible thing. that these public areas aren't the cut. It's not our principles, it's not our principles problems, but certainly transport and DFI should be thinking more in terms of what the image is for the whole area and the role as partners with us in that, you know. So I think we should be writing them, you know, people real ones, yeah, expressing our disappointment that this is not. We, our expectations of them in that matter certainly is ongoing.
Chair, Transport and I are coming to a meeting of councillors on 23rd, maybe of October, and so I would suggest that members liaise that with them, and it is important for the area from an exceptional perspective.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Any other issues? Reaction, please? Happy to move on. Item 4, the Greenway Development Proposal, and I'll hand over to Jonathan.
Chair, the paper there, Chair, but the council had applied previously for the development. At the development stage, in terms of the first infrastructure for three greenways across the district, Chairman. Whilst those applications weren't successful, however, the department has indicated that they will be running, likely to run another infrastructure programme for this, Chairman. Now, the issue would be that the next stage of funding was to develop the project, but they haven't been successful. But the recommendation, Chairman, is that we pick two of these greenways that were just on the threshold term and work those up. There would be a cost term associated with doing that in the future term, and we recommend including money in the budget next year for that cost of £50,000.
Thanks, Chair. Just to propose accept the recommendations, I think it makes sense to be prepared for any future funding that does become available. We get closer with the Dunpatrick to Newcastle project or initiative. I think it's, you know, it's a great boost for tourism. It fits well within the tourism strategy in regards to increasing visitors and locals alike in regards to using greenways and cycling and walking. So I think it's worthy to support.
Thanks, Ollie. Glenn?
Chair, I'm happy to say that there's anything nice with it. It's a project. The one question I'd like to ask where you're done from. I know the Down Railways are proposing to extend the railway to Ballingodden. Would that affect that greenway, or what is the situation there?
No, Chair, I don't think there's any impact on that. That project is still being looked at and developed on their own, so as it's happening.
Okay.
Just wondering, Jonathan, when the two were did fall short on, what were the reasons for they came towards or fell short?
The chairman, the issue really was the demand, and I suppose a lot of the budget that was set aside at the time, the department had only set aside money for, I think it was three greenways, and it was from an issue. But a lot of this is to do around Bowie Shift, which is the same as the other project, you know. That is where it's towards, that was in kind of the crux of it. So it's just a case of budget and where it's draw the line in terms of the money of the micro project and the support.
David?
Hi, thanks, sir. I've been a lot of supporter of the Greenway project. I think it's an excellent idea, right through from start to finish. And I hope that the Dunpatrick those get involved with them and get our greenways built better. Just a point to take, Jonathan, the Newry OE Greenway project, I don't think that there are what's the way around it?
Chairman, phase one is complete, funded by the council and the Amsterdam Trust. Phase two, Chairman, is just underway, and it has been again funded through the council Interreg programme, Chairman. And the second, the next phase beyond from the Greenway, from the Victoria Lock. Right through is currently been worked up to the Loud County Council are leading that project. There is a steering group established on, and we are hoping to move to find the consultant to do the detail today. But the project is progressing. I think the council through its SPR committee agreed to the lease agreement with the Crown Estate for the Loud section. So it is progressing, but it will be the funds secured for it, but it's not going to be delivered. Probably on the ground for probably 2020 at this point.
What's phase two?
Phase two is the bit from the Stowway to Victoria Locks, which has currently been constructed, and that has been funded through the Interreg programme.
Thanks,
Michael. Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I think part of my question was already addressed there about how much was in this
from the beginning, you know, and should we really have been putting in 18.5 million pounds worth of application if the fund doesn't cover it, you know? Should we have been picking the priority one that we had first and made one application for this council area as opposed to putting three in and getting none?
The most chairman that the part of money that was set aside was the Canadian Central Government terms, which was a competitive bid process, and a number of the agreements had been identified. So we're just going to skip the balance between the cost of the money available and the number. There was a number going from councils all over the place. There has been a whole network of the agreements identified through the department and prioritised. So it was a case of trying to maximise the opportunities for them.
What can you improve? The one thing accepted.
Chairman, there's been 3 projects approved, but that was only for the next stage of development. They're getting each of those 25 out to work their project up. There's been no projects formally approved. The whole the big capital fund is the next stage, Chairman.
Okay, we've both from Councillor Clark and second Councillor Hannah, so no more questions, happy to move on. Item 5, the Northern Ireland European Social Fund Board.
Chairman, under your current local economic development plan, Council has supported a number of projects delivering AFDF funds across the district, Chairman. The first round of that program is coming to an end in the current year, and a number of organisations are planning to make additional applications for the period from 2017-18 up to 2020, Chairman. At this point, we're seeking approval to the end of a number of these organisations that are making funds, making applications, Chairman, bring back recommendations to the committee on the way forward. But we will be asking that the council, like in its the current plan, set aside the budget in the financial year to move forward to 18-19 and beyond to match fund these applications, Chairman, to do delivery and training opportunities across the district. Through the likes of Enterprise Northern Ireland, we got the Youth Action Plan and Employment Sustainable Services Channel.
Thanks, Jonathan. Glenn.
Chair, I don't have any proposals up there, but we have got a couple of questions there on the European Support Fund. Is that £50,000 18, 19, 20, and 21 rate? That's £150,000.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true, would that fund mean if we're all made in Europe?
Chairman, the fund that these groups are bidding into is secure. There's no issue Brexit, there's no issue on the impact. The programmes there, it's not a bidding in. But some of these projects, that's quite a small contribution. They're delivering in, can't be. Each of those projects are probably delivering in a reasonably good million per each, Chairman, to deliver. But no, there's no issue around Brexit.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent project as well.
Thanks, Glenn. Second.
Yeah, I was just certainly agreeing with that, but I just want to ask how pertinent is it to the reality of, you know, the talk here about it's young people who are unemployed and, you know, not requiring education or training, I mean, unemployed and economically inactive. But I was just told recently that, you know, that the fact is that there are very few apprenticeships coming out of the training centres in the trades that are actually required at the moment, which primarily are bricklayers and plasterers possibly, you know. And just like there are a few areas where, you know, there's like MSD, you can't do a lot, and there's good opportunities, and but I'm just wondering, is there like this coming in to really and truly where the employment opportunities actually are, or is this going off on just some tangent, to give it to the other end, just for the sake of it, you know, is it real?
The issue around, I suppose, the trades and the higher level qualifications are met, they are, I suppose, that went through the likes of your training colleges are delivered separately. The colleges will bid in for some of this money as well. This is a project that I can come to the council, but there will be, you know, what the likes of SRC and the FDRC deliver across the district will be funded through different parts. Lots of money, Chairman, to their own resources, what resources get to area them to the Department of Education.
No, sorry, I didn't get a phone. I must have detailed the technical jobs, and you know, it's a big scam.
but I just was keen, you know, to know, is there, you know, is there actually substantial, is there something substantial in this, or just does it pay homage to, you know, training scheme for the sake of it? You know, where's the detail in the sectors that are actually the employers are looking for at the moment? You know, that's sort of a little flesh out, you know.
So, Chairman, at this stage, we're looking at taking approval to set aside a part of money notion work to liaise with the potential applicants and bring back that level of detail to the committee for final consideration. We're not to know that the programs that you have funded have delivered good results. We can bring back that report that would have been so fed back crazy. We can't bring back the report in terms of what the program should be able to achieve, but we haven't given a commitment. We're just kind of giving a note the projects we have supported in the past and we'll find a decision to move forward. The issue around three is something we can raise with the FD colleges.
I'm just going to bring Charlie in here. Do you want to legally have a future report and come back in? Or like two other speakers come in here. I'll take Charlie in.
No, I'm not going to be honest with you, I'm going to run them in. No, to finish off what they have said.
Charlie?
I agree with the nice seconded proposal. Because if you look at the four thematic objective groups and priorities, why should we not, you know, put £50,000 a year over the next couple of years in our budget? With the benefit of people like Clan Ride, advertising again, SLC are doing, they're doing sterling work at the moment, you know, with those groups. So it's a small amount of money. And, you know, when you think the Glenn is saying we're coming out of Europe, we're not going to just that soon and that handy. I mean, the amount of money we'll invest over the next 2 years or 3 years, we'll do a lot of work in those priority areas. Quite a second,
I'm sorry, Brian.
Yes, thank you, Chair. While I agree with what most of the other councillors have said, I was sort of coming from a summer space to kind of come out here. There's the jobs for these young people when they have gone this then. But also the bigger problem. When young people do get into the likes of mechanics, plumbing, some of these trades, the toolkit costs them thousands, if not tens of thousands. So there's no help for them. So then when they're going to look for a job with no toolkit, no employer seems to want them. And they're getting through the apprenticeship up to the final year. And because the funds you support them with through these training courses and apprenticeships, it's all been dropped. I was talking to a gentleman within the past couple of weeks who employs a young person training to be a mechanic. And the paperwork and that he had to do for insurance to employ this young person. I think somebody has to take a serious look and make it more attractive for employers to take these young people on more long term, and to help them by setting up some kind of a scheme to contribute towards building a toolkit.
Sure, it is completely that we're on the agenda. We are doing a skills audit, or plan to do a skills audit for the district. Really supposed to get a look and see just what the needs are from employers, and also not just in the here and now, but also what we'll be looking at moving forward. So that can be built into future projects. We'll do the application and the SBSM application process, test the need and demand as well for that process.
Chair, just briefly, just to answer Councillor Quinn, this is the stepping stone before people are to ready for work. It's getting people skilled up, building up their confidence and skills, and supporting them so that they're in a position now to take, you know, full-time employment. Some of these people have become disengaged, disillusioned with obviously with education and training, and it's about supporting them to get them back into training. I don't disagree that the skills base or the trades and stuff that we need in the future have to be accommodated, but this, in my opinion, is a different program than that.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, we've got a pause on the second. No other comments? Okay. Moving on to item number 6, which is Rural Development Program Broadband Application.
Chairman, yeah, this would have been discussed previously with the committee. Chairman's report back at this point that the application has been successful. We're seeking approval to approve the letter of offer and commence the work, Chairman, to identify
potentially three pilot programs in terms of rural broadband across the district to utilize the rural development fund monies moving forward, John.
Thanks, John. Willie?
John, I'm happy to propose where all of our areas, all the DAs are aware of you. So black spots in regards to broadband. I think the crux of the work is to identify areas that won't get BT broadband. There's a couple of people contacted me even as early as last week in regards to that there's no hope of them getting BT broadband. So I think it's key that we look at the MRAs and use the money in a sensible fashion, and hopefully the pilot will identify ways to do that. There's no point in throwing money at something that's not going to develop a solution. The solution, the way I see it, is that BT, through the research and pilot, that BT are quite clearly saying that they won't be providing that infrastructure in the place. Then it's up then for the other firms, smaller firms, then to be able to put in the infrastructure for broadband. In the confidence that BT will come steamrolling in the top of after the data infrastructure in the place for small areas, you know, so there has to be a commitment from them in regards to that as well moving forward. I suppose there is a commitment from the village government, and that would be, the DC money that can be brought in to get more money to broadband also, but I don't see that money materializing over here.
Thanks, Willie. Harry?
No, I mean, that's certainly something that's much needed, and I'm happy to second that.
Thanks,
Chair, on that there, it's more than Keel and 3 billion. Is that just hotspots where there is absolutely no broadband left that you're going to be targeting them, are there?
Yes, Terry, you're looking at those areas where there's been limited or no provision, but really, it's decided just to work on a couple of pilot projects, Chair, and see what's on the work.
How you going to find them?
Well, that's what the whole work is here, is to try to identify the end of the area and then what kind of project would be. Well, but it's something that we need to look at how we can link in with maybe like a community centre or something that's in the area where you can, with the council doing work, how we can maybe roll that out and maybe use a specific area in a rural village or a nice hidden roadway that has issues. So it's different to what is the fact, where are the issues, where the real issues are, and what is the council for
Thanks,
Michael. Thank you, Chair. And I suppose you obviously welcome any funding that comes in, and particularly for sussing out and upspots for internet and broadband. But I wonder what happened to all the previous reports that we did. This has been going on for many years, 10 years plus. And we had different people visit this chamber. But I think the last was a UK government project that was putting 52 million into it. There was a lot of consultation done. The not spots, i.e. where you just can't get broadband, were identified, and a lot of consultation across the district took place. And then we were going in to have the infrastructure put in place, spending the 52 million. I wonder, where is all that going? Is that, it must have been part of this, or were aware of that before carrying out these studies, do we know where the hotspots are?
I think on that, we had information via postcode about areas that don't have connectivity or low connectivity. That was going to be fed into this, is my understanding, John, correct me if I'm wrong, and to put together a heat map of the area to show where the hotspots are. So we had information on postcodes in different areas. This is effectively a heat map to look and say, we're doing 3 pilot programs. To see the area that was left community based. So I think that information is, along with my understanding, being fed into it and going forward. That's on track. Okay, any other comments? We have a proposal in second, so we move on to 8.7 million. They have hired a course of the project.
Chairman, this is just by way of an update, Chairman, largely that you're at the group that was established, Chairman, under the old legacy arrangements, Chairman, the flag group, has been asked, was asked to re-submit an application term at the beginning of July for the new round of Seed Lag Money's term. That application has now been accepted, and the lag has been accepted at the delivery agent's term. The next stage in the process is to submit an application to the department by the 30th of November term, which will review the status and submit the application for the next round of funding term over that. £2.3 million channel for the joint project across ourselves and ours and more joint channel. And certainly also the recommendation would be that in your budget set process coming up for 18-19, you set aside a figure of around 100,000 channel of mass funds projects coming out of that initially. So it will be a roll right over a 3-year program, or a 3-year program channel, so it would be 18-19-19.
Thanks, John. Thank you, Chair. I would like to propose that we set aside £100,000 and promote and push this project as much as we possibly can, because these four fishing villages are starting to suffer, and they have perhaps become big projects which will hopefully bring some employment and a bit of business back and back into those areas. So I would like to propose this project.
Thanks, Brian. Good. Chair, I'm happy to say that there, but Brian has highlighted this is quite true. A lot of the small fishing villages do have all sorts of problems. Sort of the facilities and all sorts of, I know Chip Steele and Moore have liked to develop it significantly, but there were different projects. And as far as indicated, there is a bit of large projects possibly coming down the road and that. And to congratulate me and Liam, we supported them all along. So I'm happy to sign the proposal, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm happy enough with the proposal. Just in regards to, we're talking about fishing communities, particularly in Newcastle Harbour, also exceeds this level of funding. But is there any flexibility in regards to getting funding for the facilities in the Newcastle Harbour area if fishing communities are using Newcastle Harbour? The broader fishing communities would be using it at the time. Would that be enable a way to get some funding into that area? If that could be checked out.
Chairman, the short answer would be a different from the programme outline would be no, but the answer was something we think as part of the strategy development can look at, Chairman, and explore that further.
Thanks, Chairman. Any more comments? Okay, moving on to item 8, the application to the Heritage Lottery Fund for the Great Bay Scheme.
Chairman, yes, this is application has made its way past phase one, Chairman. It's a Heritage Lottery Great Scheme application, Chairman. It's about the Museum of Memory, Chairman. It has been made by the Ring of Budget Partnership, Chairman. The recommendation would be that we obviously submit this phase two application, which has been budgeted for, Chairman. The issue moving forward would be to put set aside some funding in the next 3 financial years should the application be successful, Chairman, at a cost of £10,000 per annum. You have the opportunity to save around about £270,000, Chairman, for the project.
Thanks, Chairman. Shall I propose that we do that? It's a great scheme. We need to be in the aim, so I would propose to do that. Okay, thanks, Harry. Declan?
Second.
Any other comments? Moving on to item 9, the letter of offer from Lansdowne Community Fund, John O'Brien.
Sure, this was funding that was set aside under the Lansdowne Community Fund, Chairman, for the development phase of the railway. That's now been completed, Chairman. There was an underspend where funding wasn't required and it couldn't be rolled over onto the second phase, as it was funded through Tipperary. Chairman, the Lansdowne Community Fund were keen to retain that money for the area, Chairman, so there's been a proposal was put forward regarding the restoration of the Lockgate number 5, Chairman, or the letter of offer, where the money had been deferred through that project by the Communities Fund, Chairman, so we're recommending we accept the application and progress with the procurement process, Chairman, to get the works designed and implemented, Chairman.
Thanks, John. Would you ever?
Yeah, Chairman, just to propose it, Chairman, it's a great idea to use whatever money's left there.
Thank you.
Great idea, thanks, sir.
Thanks. No further comments?
Yeah, sir. Chair, just a second. Will we proceed with water around the bottom of the group there to the canal, the bottom of the group, the works there?
Yes, sir. Now that has worked as well. I think the bottom part of that application will transfer the money over and they'll be in
Item 10, the Outline Regeneration Follow-Up Plan in partnership with the PSC.
Chairman, this is an indicative forward work plan. It's going to give us some sort of guidelines for moving forward over the next 5 years with the Department for Communities, Chairman, and how we would tackle regeneration across our towns. Chairman, because there are really an outline work plan at this stage, and it's probably subject to change as we move forward with budgets, and so we're seeking approval from the Chairman to work here.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I'm certainly welcome that. But just when you're looking at the plan going forward, covering strikers, citing the fact that we wouldn't get this money better into us, you know, and you know, there's still no, obviously from government around, but there's still no prospect of getting that for some money. Like, I think around the 5 million, was it 5 million, million a year? Quite a substantial amount of money. And I still get the point from the fact that that hasn't found his way down to local government. But just on one of them, and I'm delighted to see that the warm ground front shore, probably well and sea refurbishment works, is proposed for 2019 and 2020. But just looking at the figures there, there's a sum put in there of a total of 1 million. But as one of you very familiar with the area, can I ask, in view of the fact that £1 million won't probably do what is needed there in terms of delivering the front shore to mirror the existing work that's been done in the front shore of Warren Point, but right out the Strabo Road to enhance our tourism product? Because, I mean, you know, this is really what this should be about and is about. It's about creating some sort of ambient right along that merges the original scheme. I do think that we would need to be acquiring the assistance of the Department of Infrastructure, because in one particular part there, the footpath, where hundreds of people use that on a daily basis, on an evening basis, you know, without using it as both recreational walking and a tourist attraction as well, from out as far as Morgana and right on to Strabo actually. So there's one point there where the footpath is left on foot wide. Very, very dangerous. But I could see where, you know, if this is all, you know, properly developed, going out there and going forward, two things will happen. I mean, that it will improve the safety of road people out walking, but it also becomes an attraction, an additional attraction at one point. And that's why I would like to see the Department of Infrastructure and Tourism NI involved into this going forward at this stage, from the start of the building of plan around. You know, the leg of this has been plans for Warren Point going back 30 or 40 years ago. Some of us has grown mothballs and set up with gas and dust encounters. And I believe certainly this is a great and so welcome that we actually have it proposed for 1920. But I think we need to prepare to do a really substantial scheme here, really that will be meaningful and will enhance our overall product in terms of tourism attraction.
In all of these cases, we're working on these up with the NZ agencies and partners, Chairman, and we've got that will be a given, Chairman.
Okay, that's great to hear.
Okay. Michael.
Thank you, Chairman. And I would endorse what Declan was saying there as well. We probably need a bit more, but it's certainly a scheme that should be worked up and should be delivered on if some of the books start to run. Can I ask a question about the revitalization scheme that we're in fact $150,000? It's my understanding that it's been delayed simply because Strong is not there and not operating and the Prime Minister and so on. It has been agreed for quite some time that this would be coming forward. Could I ask as a matter of urgency that we write to the permanent secretary then of that department and ask them to move that forward before it gets completely wiped away and think that it should be delivered on the point very quickly. No. Permanent secretaries apparently can make quite big decisions, so this is not so big in the scheme of things.
Right.
Sure, we have written to the permanent secretary already and all of the revitalization scheme for the life, and we've requested a meeting as well, and we will respond.
Okay, any further comments? We've got a poll of the factors. How do we move on? Item The regional bid to digital channels for the low-powered wide area network.
Chairman, you have the paper there in front of you. It's very technical and it's detailed. Chairman, in short, it is a proposal that's been worked up by the University of Ulster and Invest NA to look at securing funding from the Digital Catapult Programme to develop a kind of pilot low-powered wide area network in each of the transit areas, Chairman, across the Atlantic transit term. It is sort of a kind of technology that allows you to interrogate information. I'm supposed to something like you imagine the technology that allows an app sort of being developed to allow people to, you know, put on your heating system from your phone. So that and bring that into an urban setting where you start to use information around football shops, you know, where people are shopping, all that sort of stuff. So it really is about starting to form trends within town centres, Charles. So it's kind of live data. Really, this is very much a pilot. The proposal is to put the infrastructure in to make it happen and then build sort of a working group with a number of businesses in their town centre that will start to use it and maybe use it for the benefit of their business. So it could be something used around, you know, informing even economy where businesses are busy, where there's gaps, that sort of thing. It is very much embryonic, Charles. It's kind of the future. The request is that we submit £10,000 to the maximum that is funded on for all the other councils. Chairman, if you have money in the current budget, it is a bit of this stage to result for our commitment, but the anticipation is that the project will be rolled out in the current financial year. Thanks, Charlie. Harry?
No, I think it's a good idea. I mean, why wouldn't we have a digital aid? So anything new on Front Lane, North Street, and the street that we're taking the pilot on, and hopefully ours will want to get on board and it will work. So thank you, happy to propose.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for that. That's a awesome. Yeah, thanks, John. Moving on to item 12, the Belfast Region City Dean. This will be on the back of a visit from a number of people from this committee. You know, Harry, Gary, Mickey and Roshan and myself have been up with Belfast presentation. So there.
Yeah, Chairman, this is a bit of a turntable. I think I've taken through council since June. And I suppose we're getting to the point where it's getting to a decision stage. I suppose to set the context, I've been working along with the chief executives in the greater Belfast area, so looking at the proposals towards a growth region, Stoke City Dean, something that has occurred in Manchester, Glasgow, Swansea, Edinburgh, and indeed most of the major cities in the UK. So the argument we've been making is that there's no city deals in Northern Ireland. We should be looking at a city deal in Northern Ireland. So on the back of that, again, people will be aware that the negotiations as part of DUP 20, as you said, there will be a number of growth regions and city deals developed in this area. So now it's at a place where we want to start to bring that forward. And I spoke to the 10 trigger. The first probably trigger will be the budget in Exchequer's budget, in the autumn budget, and then with the view to coming to a deal. So we had a session with the party leaders on the chair of the committee, two weeks ago now, whereby the various groupings came from each of the councils to discuss the rationale and the scarcity deed. Subsequent to that meeting, then we had a number of meetings with the chief executive group to bring together a proposal about how we actually start bringing this forward. And I suppose what we identified in the paper is a number of key strategies we developed. First of all, an economic strategy for the region, which identified clear commitment to economic growth and how we grow the region. A strategic economic, which is look at the prioritisation of capital projects within the area. The issue over employability and skills, because skills is one of the big requirements of the listening to the area discussion, you know, a need for skills audit, which will actually look at skills and improve the skills. So the whole idea is to grow the region, which will actually what you want to do is provide the skills to those people within the region, especially the more marginalized groups in the region, to actually be able to plug into their employment and jobs, which will really create. And then looking at our tourism strategy also and an innovation strategy going forward. So I suppose in terms of recommendations is, you know, we need to connect to the city deal again, you know, collectively as six councils within the area need to commit to the city deal at the start of November. And again, the recommendation here is that we commit to that. We actually started to put fund nodule, and let me be quite clear about it, there will be a requirement for us to put funding in to develop up strategies and commitment to it as equal partners if we want to get equal growth out of it. And the requirement then is also for us then to look at when the capital project, what sort of money we'll be able to do to invest in capital projects going forward. And again, the strategic project as well, the projects we've included in there, you know, civic and regeneration. But we're not going to do all projects for the big, as you said yourself, Chair. This is a programme, it's not a project. It's about seeing, putting together a programme which will grow the GBA in this area with 4%. And keep increasing pliability, and particularly this program, we haven't started out yet, but are they going to be in the most marginalized parts for district? So again, what we want to do is start research, and one of the big key areas is to look at the skills parameter and see what skills in the area. And again, all the councils coming together, and again, there's merit in that because as a council, we will be doing skills audit anyway. It's part and parcel of what the members have been discussing earlier on in terms of BSF funding. But again, this gives us, by doing it in a collaborative basis, actually get more bang for our buck and a better bunch of work done. And again, what I've said is that this is probably one of the most strategic methods of working this council will probably agree to in the next several years in terms of the city deal. It's probably going to be quite unique in Northern Ireland. So therefore, it may be useful, and again, throwing this out to members, to actually have a full council workshop on that before we actually make a final decision in November. So again, Chairman, the recommendations are if probably I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Glenn.
Chair, I'm happy to propose to participate in the Belfast regeneration of the city and get more jobs, hopefully, and create more skills. We do need to look into this, and actually this committee is enterprise regeneration of tourism, and this fits our criteria 100% of those. And the same thing, kind of, I assume Neil Lutter should start it off. Have you any idea roughly how much potentially?
Well, you know, I suppose, Chairman, people are talking any. I suppose, Chairman, what? Yes, there will be an economic strategy, but again, a lot of the stuff we're doing, skills strategy we haven't developed at the moment, something that we have been planning to do in terms of rolling out. We've done our economic strategy, we've done, you know, our tourism strategy, you know, our place strategy. The skills strategy is one of the other strategies to feed the bank, but so it's a piece of work we need to be done. We've done our economic strategy, we've done our tourism strategy. So again, you know, you're going to be talking about maybe 20-30 prices, but it's very hard for me to gaze out there until we go through it. Some of them are much easier. An economic strategy, basically we've set out what we want to do, what we want to achieve. So it'd be quite easy for somebody to bring that together and put together a report on. But again, I think the first part is the skills part of it.
Chair, I'm happy to propose the £10,000 to start up, but if we don't manage to speculate, we will not accumulate any wealth or anything we've got in there, so I'm happy to propose, Chair.
Thanks, Glenn. Gary?
Yeah, Chair, begin by congratulating the Chief Executive on seeing the opportunity here. I think, I mean, certainly, Chair, you and Celtic and other councillors were up at Belfast City Hall. It is something that we would have to be careful with, that it doesn't become Belfast-centric, you know, but it's one of the opportunities. Agree with Glenn that there is extra money here, you know, and obviously it does look, in terms of the British context, that there is a void here, there hasn't been one of these, so we'd like to think, and probably of the DUP now that help us out here, that we think there is one of those, but I do think that there is real opportunity here. We'll have to watch the detail as it comes out, but I mean, we don't want to miss the boat here, we do think we should get money.
Thanks,
Charlie.
Also, thank you. 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 Thank It looks like, on paper, it looks like a great deal for the district, but again, we're at the very early stages, there's no doubt. It may be only 10,000 pounds now, but I think if we do get involved in this, I think we have to be realistic enough to know that there will be substantial money required for ourselves to get involved in it. So I think it's important, as I say, number four on the recommendation is a workshop as soon as possible on it. Thank you, Chair.
And I like what Mickey has said, as one of the councillors was there in the presentation. Yeah, what I mean, thinking the presentation was an opportunity, was, you know, a list of projects coming from different areas, what we're feeling, but it was totally different. And I think this workshop is key for the members.
I do, but you know, looking outside on a bigger picture, we were doing it on the paper that's coming forward on the agenda on the Brexit ball of holidays, where we all came together to let a voice. I think regional program is the word that needs to come out of this. It is a program, it is about upskilling, growing the region, upskilling our people, and as Liam says, growing the GDA and the area, and we need to look wider than that. Now, there was a bit of a feeling in the room that, you know, in some areas and some councils were saying, well, if we don't get it, we're going to, you know, vote from this. And that probably is the fail. But you have to be in it in order to get the benefits from it. I think Liam has to be commended for seeing the opportunity, but the time and the window is short with the budget coming up. But I do agree with Mickey that the workshop is absolutely key because, as I say, what are the next feeling and what are the angles to it?
Yeah, Chairman, again, as I said, this is a key important thing to get KPMG alone, so I'm going to try to get some dates, but again, I would encourage members to get their members, parties to get their members at this session, because, again, it is complicated to understand. I suppose I've brought papers to yourselves, and I suppose when you're hearing it as you're going along, it takes a bit of getting used to it, as an answer.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Firstly, again, appreciate Liam, the work that you have put in. I must admit, at the start, I was a bit cautious about it. I thought city days must be in the rural council. You know, would we be putting more in than we would be getting out? But, I mean, obviously, when we heard more detail on this, on that we're depending on the negotiators being able to get us a good day. And, you know, and every day there is a certain amount of risk. So, that's okay, thank you.
Thanks, Harry. No problems. Okay, moving on to item 14, progress report on the Newry Civic Centre.
Oh,
there's a verbal report to board, isn't it? Sorry, apologies, I'm on the paper copy here. Item 14, Brexit, verbal report from Liam.
But again, Chairman, maybe could Michael raised the issue, so maybe in terms of Derry, we could pick that up, and maybe I can outline what I've got. I've also got copies of the report which you bring out again, when councillors and yourself and yourself and Councillor Mulgrew are from Brussels tomorrow. So
yep.
Again, but very Megan will be more
like based on the recommendation we've got all the councillors that we said we discussed with the RT, if you want to come up to the seat and outline the proposal that you're possible, we can discuss with you.
Basically the issue raised on at the last council meeting was we had information coming through that a number of leading manufacturing companies in the Dublin area are now looking to UK cities for some divisions to make sure that they maintain long-standing access to the UK market. What I was only in on was the fact that there's a very short time window of opportunity to coordinate this and scope it out. Basically what it was that Newry is in a unique position. We're 60 miles, maybe an hour slightly more away from the headquarters of some of these companies, yet we're in a unique position that we offer access to the UK market. We have our own port on our doorstep, and I believe that we should be trying to scope out in some way how these companies are thinking and seeking to encourage them to look at our city and district, whereby smaller manufacturing companies could feed into the supply chain. If we could look at our two big sites, the SNI, for example, have in Newry, and a fabric that very much need attention. What I was suggesting was that within the RT or within the council, we should look to set up a manufacturing task force where you bring together councillors, officials, members of Newry and One Enterprise Agency, the Chambers of Commerce and Trade, and other industry bodies, and indeed Invest NI, to see when we scope out the opportunities, to seize this window of opportunity. So if we don't lose out the cities like Belfast, or for that matter, Liverpool, Manchester, or Birmingham across the water, and that we assert ourselves as being the gateway as such to the UK post Brexit. It also brings into the other element of it, which is that we have two big sites that Invest NI have, both in Newry and their fabric, and I think the question a lot of us are asking is, you know, are we serious about it? Are we filling those sites? Are we going to have the most monitored agricultural land in this part of the island? And I think what we need to look at is having a conversation with Invest NI about how to seize this opportunity, but also to look at how they put together their client list, because their client list dictates really put into these sites, and I think we need to look at a tailor-made solution to look at this opportunity. It also brings
on the Brexit element, but what also brings into play what has been for years our unique relationship with Dundalk and the Dundalk Chamber, whereby during the worst of the troubles and coming out of the troubles, both Dundalk and Dury worked exceptionally well together to try and create a regional feel for this area to maintain jobs on both sides of the border. So the post-Brexit seepage of jobs to the north, we should be looking between the greater Dury and district area, and if there's seepage of jobs to the south, then we look to work with our counterparts in Dundalk to ensure that they are maintained in the Dundalk area. Because that effectively, because of the cross-border job creation that there is here in this area, people work on both sides of the border, but it affects it effectively economically, copper crossing the future of this area and the east border region by working in tandem. So really, I think there's an opportunity for a special task force to look into this opportunity in the short term. It was based on information that the company prepared to last council and chair, so I propose that we look into that as a potential option. Yeah. Thanks, Michael.
I just want to follow up on this and really hear it in detail. And I was about thinking through whether the house will attach to this workshop, but I think in a more detail that Michael has given here, that there is an opportunity. And that's why I chose the last year of meeting for help Mr. Bell here from the Northern Ireland Food and Drink, because he went down that line at a Brexit meeting that I had earlier, and about the opportunities there is going to be here. All of it is going to be negative, sure, as well, but it's going to be a positive here in relation to how we go forward. And I think we need to be on site, or go to the what I can say here, be there and sit down and see how we can take advantage of the situations that as they arise here, and there will be situations that arise here, because companies will want to go into Northern Ireland because of the position that finds itself in relation to Brexit. So I would then support what Mike is saying here, and if you want a second look at that.
Just conscious that Michael only committee members can propose. Just before I take it in, and Darren, if you want to propose, before I go to the other speakers, I want to just take Liam back in here just to discuss the mechanisms that we already have and see if it's something to be advanced through them for support before we make the formal proposal.
Yeah, Chairman, I think, I suppose it's We have an economic forum which meets on a regular basis, and yet and Marie is leading with that there. But I know what Chris was having to say is something slightly different than that there. It's really looking at the opportunities for exit. Maybe it's a piece of what we need to get down, do a piece of work on it, and then see what the opportunities are and see what I get invested in and have that conversation. We also agreed before the summer to have like an advisory group of exit, I suppose. The purpose of it was basically the enterprise agency, you had the Chamber of Commerce, Warm Pine Port, you had Afro Fisheries, Al McCullough's group, in terms of bringing together some issues. So maybe it's actually getting them together again, maybe to actually do a piece of work, maybe actually to maybe organise a meeting again across. I think what maybe the suggestion sort of remember a couple of members of each party, so maybe we use the different method we have where we have two SDLP, one for the unionist group and one for the independent group, and to come with it all in to actually get together with that group and invest in I. I know Best in I has done a presentation, the chairman was saying that there, done a presentation here, that was about 8 or 9 months ago about, you know, interest in their hands on it, but again, maybe it's the opportunity to actually bring them along and give us an update at that grouping. But if, you know, Councillor Carden wants to propose it, maybe we'll put that grouping together and try to organise a meeting in the next 4 or 5 weeks to try and pull that together.
Thanks, Liam. Darren, do you want to probably propose?
Yeah, to do one of those probably propose, but I think it's the right way forward.
Okay. Harry.
Yeah. I'm happy to second it. I'm the first one to command. Michael, Councillor Sellers, on the work he's put under. It's certainly an excellent vision. I mean, for the company to come up north here, it's very welcome. I mean, the only thing we can step here is really, as long as we make sure where they come, whatever area they're in, that it goes down to the people and that they'll get jobs. You know, they're not bringing all the staff with them as such. But certainly, good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, just on that, I was meeting there on Friday evening and on Saturday, so just to let this number actually go on, every council seems to be looking after its own selfish interests here at the moment. I don't know if Liam's aware of what's going on. There, explain to you what I'm talking about. Councils are meeting with businesses for that, and there are, I know of at least 3 businesses that are establishing up and down Dungellan directions for that, just to help a fight in the north of Ireland. So, and in Fermanagh, so do we not as a council need to be starting to be proactive and making the businesses ourselves, to look after ourselves, if we get as much of it as possible? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Yeah. We don't want to land back and let everybody get in ahead of us.
Chairman, we are talking to business and need business of special interest, and they are making approaches to prepare sales in relation to the impact of Brexit, both positive and negative. I would say, you know, that businesses are actually looking to relocate away because of the impact of Brexit and uncertainty, certainly around there. We are doing that. In terms of, we've taken approach, I know that there is. For councillors across Northern Ireland and those involved in NILGA will be aware of that, that different councillors are taking different approaches to the whole Brexit issue. Some are doing work that we're doing in terms of the document I've got here, and maybe for the council members that are not on this committee and are sitting in the background, there's copies of the report. We'll get them all out to each councillor, and the council will put them on the list of the report. The piece of work we've done is a major piece of research with the University of Ulster, looking at the impact on it is the threats and opportunities. In relation to Brexit for the border councils, because again, we've worked on the premise that first of all is that the border councils are probably the most at threat for Brexit because we have a large farming rural community. We are also 80-90% plus small businesses, so therefore in terms of being able to react to major changes is problematic for them, and also too, given the agri-food industry is virtually, and fisheries are located along the border area, and in terms of road crossings and access to employment is critically an issue. I know Belfast have done their own piece of work on that there, and again raising the issue, and again what I've said is I know Belfast and ourselves are over with the other councils on the border area looking at that. Some of the councils have done no research into it, and again, that's their own choice in terms of what they want to bring forward. But as I said, what we are doing is, in terms of preparation, we're looking at the issues, and the report you've got here is a primary piece of work. But as proposals start to go forward, it'll be critically important that we plug into the issues that's arising and look at how they shape and how they will affect the economy and the communities living along the border areas. So, again, we are certainly very proactive, and I imagine that actually, as you see in the report, probably we're more proactive than any other area in terms of detailed analysis of what happened, if there's a soft Brexit or if there's a hard Brexit, and the impacts on employment and growth in the areas, and it's detailed in our report.
Chair, just try to respond to that.
I'll let you respond to
it. Just on that, the one word that you said there that I think really does need to be highlighted is opportunity. We as a council need to be shown that we have opportunities here to establish businesses in Northern Ireland. We just cannot depend on all the rest of the town. We need to do it ourselves. We have to be a little bit selfish, so
I think that's what Councillor Savage is proposing.
Yeah, it's just certainly endorse the report, but also certainly to emphasize the importance of this document. A few of us, we've sat in charge of some of us tomorrow. And you know, we are in a severe danger really. When you look at the report here and the list of what's going on out and about, you know, for example, the Revenue Commission report yesterday in the South, which hasn't been published, at least, you know, it's been the stark detail of the requirements for border controls. You know, if the UK leaves the customs union and the single market, I mean, the stark realities, there are terrible stark realities out there that only now come to light. And you know, if you look at in this report, I just picked out one issue, agriculture, which is quite involved and so favour itself. When you see the figures for 45,000 people directly involved in agriculture in Ireland, and almost 200,000 directly involved, and that's not the spread out of the jobs into the industry. You know, that's an incredible amount of wealth to create, an incredible amount of jobs been put in danger. We're not going to lose German ones, we're not all going to be lost. But the reality is that if we do have a border put in on this island, and a hard border, it is really going to decimate a lot of those, especially agriculture. You think back, I mean, in time to when we had an outbreak of foot and mouth illness on the island of Ireland, sorry, in the island of Britain, and we were able to, as a unitary a two-state in a sense, Unitary Island, were able to bring in a ban on movements of cattle onto the island of Ireland. I mean, that saved the industry. That actually saved the industry in the island of Ireland and saved all those jobs and absolutely millions of pounds of export opportunities that weren't lost at that time because of that ability. And I did this down in Loch Earn at the time when this government was starting to work it up. That I would appeal and still appeal for common sense between unions and nationalisms in terms of the island of Ireland being seen as one unit and the Irish Sea as a border. You know, we have to look at this that it's not political, it is purely whatever is the best option for the island of Ireland. And, you know, forget about the nuances that are going to be deep, green or orange. Technology, we would call it that. The most important thing is that, you know, businesses and farmers and the jobs that have been created over the years on this island off of the south, but that is maintained. That is the most important thing. And I think you could bring that message to our second chair, you know, that even in this chamber that you are unified around that cause. It should be about the best for this country, north and south, should prevail. You know, not the wider political notions of you know, the old traditional problems of it. The side of the game, bring that message across. Speaking of the public,
is very exactly. Glenn, Terry's got that, Terry.
Hey, just one issue on Councillor Stahl was on the old area one, just the council here will remember. But we had meetings investing in IE, where there was a number of companies here in Erie was looking to relocate down to the South Bay Island, and they were pushing towards Belfast. You know, so we need to be very careful that any dealings that we have with investing IE is dealing with that we are there and that we would watch that they were going to Erie and not Belfast.
Thanks, sir. And I think those from Councillor Savage would address that action. You know, it's a strategic place looking along the corridor between Dublin and Belfast, and just in the last section, we're going to Brussels tomorrow. That is exactly the message that I'll be bringing on behalf of the people here in this along the border corridors. Councils, I do have to commend them and the staff for all the work. I do think that we are being proactive as a council. I've sat up in Loch Earn for the presentation with the staff that was being put together, and then down to the meeting afterwards in the shadows. And I think of all the councils across the border corridor, North and South, we are the most proactive. And we will be taking that message from myself and Councillor McGrew to Brussels tomorrow.
It seems like how we're going to be private nowhere.
Okay, moving on to item 14, the Nearly Civic Centre Regeneration Update.
Okay, sure. You've had the paper. Both the Nearly Civic Centre project is a particular opportunity to highlight. This isn't about just creating an office space for council staff. This is very much about a regeneration project for Nearly, including how we can drive economic input to the area from businesses. So what we're looking to do, we've been doing a vast piece of work over the last 12 months in relation to the civic centre development, and it's been widely reported, I think, in various newspapers and whatever, that we've been looking at a number of sites. We have not rested on any site as of yet, and indeed we intend to make a public call for expressions of interest of sites, and we will be considering those in line with detailed business cases as to what will be the best opportunities. But what we would like to do is have public and business information sessions hosted in Newry, and I'm asking and recommending somebody that we proceed to organise those probably for the month of November.
Thanks, Mary. Charlie?
Thanks, Sherry. I propose we do that. I know there's a lot of work already in this, but it's important that there is all of those public responses are key to businesses. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Joe?
Yeah, just by concern, I think we're concerned on behalf of our staff here, if you know, and you bring back in here, conducive environment to work in. So, in turn, I don't have to play with our staff. We take this forward, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Any other comments?
Duncan? Yeah, I mean, this is what we set out from the Quantity Council. This is a standard. And I do think that certain, this is a good way of bringing this forward. It's very democratic. So we're going to the public and trying to engage the public in it. And what I say, civic centre means to them, what they want it to mean to them, and also to get feedback. I think it's an excellent way of bringing it forward. And it certainly, I think someone earlier we talked about transparency, and certainly that is what we're doing here, and that's what we want to do, to have a transparency in local government, and especially when we're doing something like this here, which will probably cost a hell of a lot of money, but certainly could be exciting opportunities as well, how we deliver to look around all across the country and how it's going forward. So, certainly welcome it, and
just to say, the director's comments in regards to it's more than just accommodation for staff, I agree entirely. This would be a catalyst for regeneration in New York City, and it will incorporate the private sector as well as the public sector, so it will be one of the biggest, I suppose, initiatives to regenerate the economic well-being of New York. And it sort of lends itself into the park issue that we talked about. This is one part of that regeneration alongside the park. And I think it's important to get that message out. You know, it's important that we are creating jobs in the Uri area as well as providing a good environmental environment as well.
Thanks, Willie. And as I've done from June, and once the committee members have spoken, there's any non-committee members who are indicating they want to speak. Patrick, Councillor Brennan, have you indicated that you want to make a comment?
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much for letting me in, even though I'm not on the committee. I just wanted to ask the director, I was on the strategic project working group whenever we were looking at potential sites for the Civic Centre, and I wanted to ask the director, out of those sites that were considered by Deloitte at the time, which ones are still in play in terms of being potential options for the Civic Centre? It's my understanding it was narrowed down to two at the time, but if the director could just give clarity on that.
Yeah, we have remained at two, and we'll probably have added an additional site, which is in the centre of the area. So, but I would say to everyone, and it's within the report, we've always said that the Civic Centre has to be a football stimulus for the local area in Newry. Newry has been was named the city, I think, 15 years ago, and what we're trying to do, I suppose, is create that real city feel by putting people into the heart of Newry, regenerating particularly Hill Street and Bonham Street, those main corridors of shopping. So anywhere we look at is particularly centering it in that area. We will be going more public with the sites, and there is information that we pass to the Strategic Policy and Resources Committee this week as well, just in relation to sites.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Patrick. Okay, moving on to item 15, and the item that we discussed with the staff, all the tanks each month going to the staff, the events that you put on. And I know sometimes you can get criticism when we're planning events, but I assure you when you watch this video, it is absolutely spectacular. So, sit back in 7 or 8 minutes.
If I could put a bit of context on this video, today Emergence marked our last of our Giant Adventures, our flagship programme of events over the summer, but we also supported over 15 events, other events as well, and importantly 264,000 visitors came to our events, and we returned 11.5 million in economic return for the district. So this is just a synopsis of the summer events programme.
We're giving a minute here to see if we can get up there. Maria is sure she's done over that well.
Both them part of this committee.
I think it's just key that everybody sees. I'll just give it a minute here and see if we can do as well.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. Chairs, can we move on to the next?
Just bear with us another minute because it is important. It's the next item on the agenda is in committee, so just for that, the public item was on the agenda before we go to the committee, so I do want everybody in the room to see this. If we get on, go. Here, I'm going to move on to the next item of the committee, but I would ask that the media and the public that are leaving now, if they come back in after the item, we call it back in for the presentation of the video and the team that you see. So just for 5 minutes during the next item, hopefully at the home, and then we call it back in for them. So it was proposed to take that in negotiations relating to the land owners near the Calder Lake and concrete detail design to submit planning for multi-purpose building.
update moving on. The following items are for Milton, and just to sort of wander on something. We have item 17, the master plan for the name St. Patrick Neary, and the city schools attached.
So yeah, I'm not going to be around the other church to learn that. What we're going to ask Marie is what's the next step in relation to the master plan for St. Patrick? So it seems there's a lot of things happening there, you know, now that it's on the master plan, and the next year is going to go forward.
Yes, sir, I'm so we report to this committee, and we will also report to the DEA, so where there's action required, we will take the necessary actions and continue the progress report.
Yeah, thanks. And I know we were not proposing a second, but I will take comments on it. I remember in a previous committee meeting where it came up for talking about the finding for those in the area where the people were saying it's not attention, so that's why we're doing number one. Gary?
Yeah, Chair, just as those noting in the Newry Master Plan, we have the park, the Albert Basin site, and those linking it back to the two accident presentations, Chair, from two local groups. I suppose it also went with the cross-border motion, cross-body motion that came up to council on the night. And also, Chair, welcome the statement from Sinn Féin, from Councillor Land, endorsing the need for a park at the Albert Basin site. I suppose on this point, Chair, I really want to think one of them could propose that we those two presentations and I would include those in our discussions whenever we're having them, that those form part of our discussions going forward. And those just make at this point actually really I think this thing really grasps the public imagination out there, you know, and there's an expectation and imagination. I do think that we don't do something that's just talking pickpockets, as you say, that we really see the full potential for the park at the end of this. Thank you.
Okay, Gary, we've got Declan.
Can I just say, sorry, can I just say that the presentation will take us against the school board?
Okay, so those are the presentations that the prior to the meeting will be taken as a basis for all the board, the general consensus of the committee. All in agreement?
Sure. Yeah, can I just add that also the presentations will be used to form the basis of discussion?
Yeah. All in agreement?
Yeah, I just mentioned the statement that I released. The statement that I released was exactly the same as all the statements that I've released over the previous year. Thank you.
Yeah, Mickey, thanks. Item 18 is time for the reveal area of Oxana National Beauty. Again, we're noting, but we'll take any comments on it. No comments? Item 19 is the Newry Base. Again, we're noting. Any comments? No. Item 20 is the Ring of Valiant update. We're noting. Item 21, priority 6 of the Rural Development Programme. Item 22, the Loud and Newry Morning Down Joint Committee meeting, May 2017. We're open. Again, no comment. Item 23, the action factor update sheet. We're open.
Can I just ask David? Community Castle, I know it's mentioned there, what's the update and what's the label?
Sure, yeah, we have all lease agreements in place, so you're not in place, and we're going to be proceeding as we'll discuss.
The time frame for when that project was?
Yeah, I think the anticipation was that we'll be open for Christmas of 2018, but I would say there's a bit of a setback on that just due to the delay in getting started, so probably just in 2019.
Thanks, David. No other comments? And item 24 is scheme to get delegation again from it. That's the meeting over. Stay safe at home and best of luck for the public environment too. Thank you.